Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
This is Joey Sweet Cheeks Silver, the king of candy, the champion of chocolate, the sultan of sweets, and you're listening to the MGB Wrestling Podcast.
Today we have a very special guest, Joey Sweet Cheeks Silver. How are you doing, Joey?
I am doing really well. Thank you guys so much for having me on. Super excited to be talking to you both today.
For the people that aren't familiar with your wrestling, how would you describe your characters slash style of wrestling?
Well, Mason, that is a great question. I'm currently kind of playing two characters right now. Joey Silver... Silver will shine, this kind of ball of fire, energetic, you know, good guy, always fighting for what's right. And his style is definitely more high flying. It's kind of a hybrid of, you know, brawler, high flying. And the other character that I'm also portraying these days is Sweet Cheeks. So you might have seen some footage of the Sweet Cheeks character, and that's something that's really fun for me. I describe him as the king of candy, the champion of chocolate, and the sultan of sweets. So that's a really fun one. You know, I personally love candy myself, and so I wanted to figure out how can I incorporate this into you know, my wrestling career. And Sweet Cheeks is what I came up with.
Oh, we have seen Sweet Cheeks. I'm sure there's going to be a few questions about that character a little bit later, for sure.
What are some pros and cons with having two characters like Silver and Sweet Cheeks? And do you sometimes do the wrong thing for the wrong character?
I haven't done the wrong thing yet, but the pros, I'd say, you know, I get to kind of have these two facets of my life portrayed in the world of wrestling. On one hand, I have Joey Silver, the Silver Will Shine, kind of almost like a superhero role model. You know, that's the way I see it. And, you know, that's a part of me because I like to think of myself as a pretty good guy, friendly guy. I kind of just turn it up to 11 when I'm in the ring and, you know, fighting off some bad guys or what have you. And when I'm Sweet Cheeks, I get to show a little different side of myself. It's a little more playful, it's more fun, and get to incorporate a little more comedy there. I'd say the cons, I think how to portray on social media, for example. Some people might be confused, or they might want to see Sweet Cheeks when they get Joey Silver, or they might want to see Joey Silver and they get Sweet Cheeks. So that's definitely something that that I'm working on and trying to figure out and transitioning currently in the process of doing that now.
Now, most of our interviews are normally with wrestlers that we've seen in the DC, Maryland, Virginia area. So you didn't fall into that category. So this was good, though. We like to research new characters. We like to research new organizations. And certainly with not being able to go to local indie events recently, I'm not sure when Virginia's even an opening. I know one of our locals said they closed their September. They might not even wrestle at all this year. So we're definitely looking to branch out into new organizations. One of the first things that we saw on Twitter was one of your moves, which I'm assuming relates to the Sweet Cheeks character. Sweet Dreams. Now, I showed this to the boys and they were like, whoa. We all were. I saw it. I was like, whoa, I got to show. I can't wait to show Mason this. I can't wait to show Jackson this. What other signature moves do you have? What's the sort of your key go-to moves that you would say?
So I do the Sweet Dreams is my finishing move. I do a drop kick off the top rope, which I like to call the gumdrop kick. definitely trying to, you know, come up with fun, creative names that incorporate the character as well. So you got the Jawbreaker, which is kind of just like a standard Jawjacker, Jawbreaker. Yeah, I mean, there's a few things in the works. You know, the Banana Split coming up, the Sugar Rush, but TBD on what these look like exactly. Still kind of in progress.
Oh, so the name comes first, and then the move comes second.
it depends.
Okay. Now, on another interview, I heard that your first WWE event was at age 4. Now, that resonated with us because your younger brother, Jackson, that was his first experience. He went to WWE Fairfax. It was just a house show. Big characters there. He absolutely loved it. What can you remember from your first experience then?
Yeah, first, I'm so glad you guys like have this kind of wrestling family and have been watching since the boys were young and... You know, for a long time, it's been a part of your life. So that's so cool to see. And definitely, I relate to that. But my first event when I was 4, I really just have snapshot memories from it. Because, you know, at 4, you're so young. It was a long time ago. And I distinctly remember Jake the Snake being there and taking the snakes out, taking Damien out of the bag, and The Undertaker. As well, that was a highlight for me. You know, the lights went out, the gong struck, and I think from there I was kind of hooked.
We said that from a young age. That was never really the plan. I think I introduced Mason to wrestling probably about 7 or 8, somewhere around that area, for WWE on TV first, and then we started going to some of the events, the house shows, and same thing with Jackson. I was like, nah, buddy, you got to wait until you're. He would not have waited until... He would have bugged us. And yeah, he was watching probably... He might have even started watching when he was 3, possibly. Just little bits. Certainly nothing too over the top, but certainly some PG stuff at that point.
For sure.
Where did you train and who were your trainers?
It's kind of a long story a little bit, but I actually started training in 2011 at NYWC on Long Island. And my trainers at the time were... Tony Nese, who's now in WWE, and Alex Reynolds, who is now on All Elite Wrestling. So those were the two head trainers at the time, and they really gave me a great foundation, you know, taught me the basics of wrestling, and I had my first ever match with Alex Reynolds, which was pretty cool. And then after that, I actually started going to House of Glory Wrestling School in Brooklyn, where I currently reside, and the head trainer there is Amazing Red, and he is, you know, just amazing. I'll say that he's one of the best in the world who never really got his shot at the big times. He's always kind of this indie underground king, but you know, to learn from someone of his stature is just incredible, and I'm super lucky to have him as a trainer.
Now, we saw online, but we don't always know if this is true, because sometimes there's a little bit of kayfabe out there. It says that you were born in Newark, Delaware, and I saw on Cage Match, and I know Cage Match is very incomplete with a lot of different things, that looks like your first match they list certainly is at Right Coast Pro, which is also in Delaware. It looks very close to Newark as far as I can tell. Was that where you made your debut?
So my debut professional match was at Right Coast. I am not from Newark, Delaware, however. I know. I actually went to school at University of Delaware, so I was right in the area, and it kind of worked out really nicely. But I did have a great run over at Right Coast Pro. For about 2 to 3 years, I was over there, and you know, they'd have their monthly shows, and really grew to build a relationship with the fan base over there. So that was the only company I was working with at that time, and you know, because I was going to school, so I couldn't really travel too much. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Right Coast Pro in Newark, Delaware, was kind of where I got my professional start.
My stepdad's actually from Newark in England, so I was wondering. We have a slight difference in pronunciation, but I was curious. I was like, as soon as I saw that name come up, I was like, well, that's very significant to me.
They're very particular about the way they pronounce Newark. They say Newark
instead of
Newark. like Newark, New Jersey.
Oh, of course. I'd forgot that there was one in New Jersey. Oh, yeah, okay. Now, we're always looking for cool little new organizations. I know it's been a few years since you've been there. It looked very family-friendly from what I could tell. It was certainly very fan-friendly in terms of, we've talked about when we're trying to review events, if we don't know the organization, sometimes it can be really difficult to get information out. They had a lot of cool stuff. They had their top 15 highlights on YouTube from like different events. So we got to see some of the things that you were on that. November 2015, Adam Chandler, Justin Pusser, and Miss Jasmine defeated Bazooka Joe, Joey Silver, and Miss Caitlin. So we got to see little clips of you from a long time ago. They also gave full reviews as well. So from March 2015, then out came the arrogant Damian Gibbs and his parasol to degrade and belittle everyone in attendance, including the University of Delaware singing group, the Deltones, as they were exiting the ring. As the healthcare administrator for Right Coast Pro, Gibbs had deemed everyone unfit for his program, demanded an on-the-spot photo shot, and demonstrated to everyone how he works out and stays so buff. So they go into quite a lot of detail. Now, I'm pausing here because this is really the part of the question where we're going to get to you in a second. Deltones member and RCP wrestler Joey Silver took the brunt of Gibbs' insults. Silver had enough of the degrading and callousness towards his friends and fans. He charged and speared Gibbs from across the ring and started a scuffle. So is it Joey Silver the wrestler, or do we have Joey Silver the singer as well? That I didn't know about.
I mean, you're talking to a multifaceted man over here. I do have some singing experience, some vocal chops, if you will. I was involved in the Deltones a cappella group at the University of Delaware, as well as a number of other singing groups throughout my life. But yeah, always been involved in music, whether it's, you know, an orchestra, a garage band, singing in a cappella groups and different things like that. And music's always been a big part of my life since I was a young child.
That was really cool, though. Like, sometimes we'll miss one event, or sometimes what used to happen before COVID is there's two events on the same day, and it's like, oh, and you can only make one. So that's really cool that they put their reviews in so you can catch up on things if you miss out. Jackson, we've got to show this to. They have a mascot as well. Mascot Coasty. We've only ever seen one other wrestling mascot. And yeah, the roster, they really grabbed my attention. Some of the names stand out straight away. Macho Mike Tobin, Bazooka Joe, which I mentioned earlier. When I heard that name, I was like, I got to find out more about this person. The Baldwin brothers, Chris Steeler. I watched a few of their matches. There were some really interesting characters on there. And yeah, I think that's a show that I'm definitely going to want to watch a little bit more. Certainly looked like a fun organization to certainly begin your wrestling career with.
Definitely fun. They treated all of the wrestlers and the staff really, really well there, and very, very character driven. You know, they definitely, as you could tell by the way the description you read before, they're kind of operating at a higher level there, and they wanted to kind of use wrestling as a means of education too for their viewers. So they'll write very eloquently, and I definitely appreciate that.
When I first saw you, you kind of reminded me of Orange Cassidy. You have the same face. And then when I would look up, when I would type in your name, it would come up with John Silver too. Like, what wrestlers have you been mistaken for other than those two?
Before Joey answers, I've got to say for the benefit, because we got the visual here. Joey gave us the thumbs up as well. We got the Orange Cassidy thumbs up as well, which was nice.
That's a great question, Mason. I actually, for Halloween last year, I dressed up as Orange Cassidy just for fun, kind of put on my denim jacket and aviators, and I'll send you guys a little picture afterwards, but I think it's up somewhere on my Instagram from last October. But I have, yeah, I mean, John Silver is one that definitely we get mixed up a couple times here and there. Just because our names are so similar. And coincidentally, he's also from Long Island, New York, and also trained at the same school that I started at. So we're pretty much neighbors, him and I. Yeah, I've gotten mistaken for him, and I've heard the resemblance to Orange Cassidy before. I actually, at one point, had a pretty big beard, and was a couple people had come up to me and said, you really resemble Daniel Bryan. So that was pretty cool. And then one of the other guys who I often get mistaken for is actually Charles Mason.
We might have to trade some pictures then, because Jackson is a big Orange Cassidy fan. He has his own little Twitter account. I guess the English word for a small orange is Satsuma. I'm told Americans don't know that word, so I went with Satsuma Cassidy. Everyone keeps saying it should have been Tangerine Cassidy. I was like, it's too late now. Yeah, he got to meet him last year. He knew he was going to be at an event, and he wanted to dress up just like him. And yeah, that's been his profile picture for a long time.
That's awesome.
Did you say also, there was one more thing on this. Didn't you say that there was another wrestler called John Silver as well? That's what you told me this week anyway.
Yeah, it was a college wrestler from Michigan. His name was John Silver, Joey Silver. I think it was Joey Silver.
Yeah, you said that. I'm sorry. You said that there was a... Were you aware there was a second Joey Silver?
I was not. This is breaking news. I don't think it's me. I didn't wrestle in college. So, well, at least on a collegiate level. But
yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. I got to look him up.
When I was looking up for the Synergy review this week, Jordan Oliver, there's also another wrestler called Jordan Oliver as well, who wrestles for Team USA as well. So it's like, wow, it's kind of a small world how you have all those little connections and there's two people with that same name. Now, one of the organizations that's very new to me, so rather than me trying to find out, I thought, well, as we have you on the show, we can ask you about it. Can you tell us about Full Faith Wrestling?
Absolutely. So Full Faith Wrestling is a faith-based wrestling company that operates out of Long Island, New York. The owner over there, Mike Magnum, he does a lot of charity shows, which I love performing on and love giving back. And he's always very transparent about, you know, where the profits of the show are going. He's like, if you guys want to see the forms, you can see it for yourselves. Do not be shy. So that's an organization that I actually started out with in October 2018 at their, it was their first show. And I just showed up and I was because it was taking place in the same building that I was trained. So it's familiar territory. And I showed up and they were like, sure, we'll put you on the show. And I got placed into a triple threat match. I got squashed pretty quickly. But since it's where I'm from originally, I had a couple of friends come from my hometown, and they were cheering me on, and the support that I got was pretty exciting. And Full Faith Wrestling, they recognized that. And so when they had their next show coming up, they put me in a little bigger match. And then I had some more friends show up. And then the next show, they put me in an even bigger match. And now I'm getting in the ring with names like Matt Stryker and guys like that who have been in WWE and made it to that level. And it just kept escalating.
Was it at Full Faith Wrestling where we saw a huge banner in the crowd to support you?
You might have seen that at Full Faith Wrestling. You might have seen it at Right Coast Pro as well. But yes, I'm definitely lucky to have some really supportive friends and family who go all out when they come to see me wrestle, you know, whether it's in New York or Delaware. I've had people travel near and far. So amazing to have a supportive fan base, especially when it comes to my friends, my brother and my parents.
One of the things I really liked about that organization was whenever we're trying to catch up on matches, normally from an organization like that, they have their own Pivot Share page or something similar. I know for the Bro Keller interview that we did, I paid my $5 a month or whatever it was and just blasted through a ton of matches. I went to their page and everything was free. Like, it's great. Loved it. So anyone who wants to watch some Joey Silver matches, that would be the first place I would go to. Full Faith Wrestling. You can just click on and they've got the whole show there. You can go and watch a lot of different things. Now, one of the matches I did see on there was the Light Heavyweight Championship Invitational Gauntlet. Corey Cooper, Rad Brad Benson, Smiley, Charles Mason, who seems to constantly keep coming up. Brother Greatness. I'm really interested in Brother Greatness. I went off on a tangent when I started researching you and I started going on to Brother Greatness. I listened to one of his interviews and I came back again and yourself. Now for me that was an amazing match. I'm kind of curious, what would you consider your best match to be?
Well, first off, thank you very much. That was a really challenging match. I kind of went into it. I didn't know what to expect. I thought it was going to be a six-way match. And so I was, you know, coming up with all of these things in my head of things I can do in that match with six guys. That's so much to do. And then I found out that it was going to be a gauntlet match and that I was starting in the first match and going all the way to the end. And, you know, it was definitely a challenge. By the last match, I was really, really drained, but it was such a huge victory for me when I walked out with the light heavyweight championship. But you were asking about my favorite match or my best match?
I guess how you want to interpret the question. I guess if you had to recommend a match of yours for somebody to go watch, then what would you choose?
One of my title defenses at Full Faith Wrestling was probably my favorite match, which was against former WWE superstar Shannon Moore. That was such a cool thing for me to wrestle him, you know, knowing his history, and he's been all over the world and got in the ring with, you know, anyone, you name it, he's done it pretty much. And just an honor to step in the ring with him. Really brilliant guy when it comes to wrestling. And I had so many fans, so many friends and family in the audience there. I must have had 50 people there cheering my name, which was super exciting. So, yeah, that was probably my favorite match.
Now, one of your interviews, I love the No Holds Barred Network. I love the interviews on Under the Ropes that Kyle and Tiffany do. I've only discovered them probably about 10 episodes ago. So I was working backwards, and I probably got to about episode 19. Tiffany's a big fan of yours, so you were very early. You were episode 4, so I actually listened back to that one. And that was actually, you were just about to face Shannon Moore at that point. So that was kind of a good point to sort of make sure you did mention that if you didn't already do so. Are you aware, on Shannon Moore's YouTube page, he only has 3 videos, and 2 of them are your match?
I didn't know that, no.
That's, I was looking around to try and find that match, and I was like, well, I could just Google it, and then it came up, and I was like, whoa, he only has 3 videos on his whole page. And he has your match, which is part 1, and then he has your match part 2. So anyone who does want to go and watch that match that you recommended, you can go find it. It's on Shannon Moore's YouTube page, and it's pretty easy to find. One of the other matches I absolutely love, this was the second match of yours that I actually saw, was also at that same organization. This year, it was against Jaden Valo for the Light Heavyweight Championship. Absolutely blew me away. It was just entertaining. It was just nonstop. A lot of that flippy stuff that I'm glad other people say. I've listened to a few other interviews. Other people are saying flippy stuff as well, because I'm never sure like quite how to. It was fantastic. That was another one that I would definitely recommend people go and check out as well. Obviously not an ideal finish. And you've been very modest about this. You talked about you've had some matches. You actually got up all the way to the champion, right? You were the light heavyweight champion there.
Yeah, that was where I actually lost the title. To Jaden. That was a really fun match for me. I loved that one. Of course, didn't love losing the championship, but that's, you know, that's life. But he is super, super talented, you know, high-flying guy, very creative in the ring, and I loved working with him. So hopefully we get to tie it up again.
That would be awesome. Yeah, no, I wasn't familiar with him at all, but when watching that match was awesome. One of the things I have noticed in a couple of different organizations, you have to take some really big knocks. Oh my gosh, that's a hardwood floor. And 2, oh, there's no fans on one side. So if you want to do those suicide dives, you can do that, and there's no fans to kind of lift you up or anything. I think also it was the Shannon Moore match. I seem to remember, okay, I'm getting a nod here, so I'm not, you were slammed. Like, I'm not sure if it was the entrance ramp. I couldn't quite tell, but it looks like you seem to wrestle in a lot of organization that doesn't have any padding on the outside of the ring. What's going on?
I guess it's not required by law at all of these places. But the Shannon Moore one was definitely the most brutal bump that I've ever taken in my career. I wanted to make sure the fans got their money's worth. So here I am laying my body on the line. But, you know, it was worth it tenfold. I've felt it for 2 weeks after that and still feeling the effects of it today, and you know, almost a year later. And but I think it really solidified me as, you know, a a talent on that roster and a talent in the eyes of the crowd. My mother, on the other hand, you know, not the happiest watching that. I think my uncle was there and he stormed out of the room. He was so upset. so it a bit of a mixed reaction, but it was something that it was a special moment.
Now we're coming back to Sweet Cheeks, Joey Silva. So yes. The first match we saw for you for this one was at UWA Elite in, it looked like it was held in the church, February 2020. All right, Mason, I watched this one and then I said, hey, you need to watch this one as well. I think you had some sort of comment or a question to ask related to this, right?
Yeah, it kind of, that jacket that you wear with all the lights on it, it reminds me of Naomi. Where did you get that jacket?
You might have to describe this one for people who are not sure exactly what we're talking about here, because it's I think it's worth a description for people who haven't seen it.
Absolutely. So it is a white fur jacket, and it is lined with multicolored lights. It's kind of Chris Jericho-esque when he came out with the light up jacket. But it's my own kind of twist on it. I guess it has little shades of Naomi as well. But I actually made that jacket. Wow. Yeah, so I got the white fur, and then I lined it with the lighting as well. So homemade and ready to go.
What were you handing out to the crowd? Was that Sour Patch Kids?
Yes. I love to pass out candy to the fans as I'm making my entrance, making my way to the ring. I think it's a really fun way to kind of spread joy in the ring and keep people happy and, you know, cheering for Sweet Cheeks. And it's come to be something that they now expect when I come to the ring, and I am more than willing to provide as the sweetness of the UWA Elite and the sweetness of the wrestling industry.
We actually forgot. We had Jackson watching. He was lying down on the couch watching it, and he was like, he was reaching his arm out, like, pass me. I so wish I'd had some candy. I could have done like one of those 4D simulators, just thrown some to him in his direction. He was buying into it, and he wasn't even there. So, yeah, I think anyone with a young audience would definitely... Actually, I say young audience. There was, I think there was a good variety of ages reaching their arms out to get some candy. So I think it definitely appealed to all. Now, Mason, I didn't tell you about this one, actually. So we're building through the year. We're up to around April now. So this is WrestleMania and a little bit after that. You made an appearance on a documentary I saw on Twitter as well, I believe. A 5-part series that was on the network. I believe you played a role in the Undertaker's documentary. Is that right?
I did. You can catch me on the WWE Network, you know, starring alongside the Undertaker.
Where was that event? I guess that's the real question. Where was that event that you were actually featured? Obviously, I know you said you'd seen Undertaker when you were super little. That clearly wasn't that.
Mm-hmm. That was at Madison Square Garden. I think it was late 2019, so you know, a few months ago, and it was billed as one of his last times to be in the Garden, and yeah. I couldn't miss it. So I was there in the crowd, and you saw that.
That must have been a big shock when you're watching that documentary and suddenly like, whoa, that was me. That's me. Whoa, have I got to rewatch? Is that me in the crowd there? I think I saw myself.
It was brought to my attention. I didn't see it for myself initially. Someone texted me and said, whoa, just saw Joey Silver in the Undertaker documentary. And I was like, whoa. And then within a few minutes, I started getting texts, text after text, and people, you know, writing on my Facebook wall and messaging me, and like people who I haven't spoken to in 10 years are like, whoa, just saw you on the network. Like, that's so cool. And I was like, well, I don't know. My network debut, I guess.
I had a similar story to that. I was reading Mick Foley's book, and he went to Madison Square Garden to see one of the events. And he and his parents weren't supposed to know about it, and they were actually watching the event, and they saw him on it.
Oh my gosh! No way. That might have been where he saw Jimmy Superfly Snuka. and got inspired to jump off the cage.
How are wrestlers staying in shape and just overall coping with the staycation?
You know, I'm not sure everyone is. It's hard for sure to stay in ring shape, because it's one thing to, you know, be at home and be doing your squats and your push-ups and all of these things that we can do at home, but there's no conditioning that is like being in the ring. And at this time, there's not really any places that, unless you're going to someone's backyard and they're setting up a ring back there, there's not really too many places to train and get in the ring and, you know, hone the craft. So I'm just trying to keep my cardio up and, you know, go on runs and like I said, doing my squats, my push-ups, my burpees, all of those kinds of things, plyometrics. I'm trying to purchase some weights, but those are hard to come by these days as well. But, you know, I'm trying to do my part while we're in quarantine, and wrestling school is still on hold.
Now, we still tweet out, wrestling with a mask is not easy, but it's for the safety of myself, my opponents, my friends, and my family. So we kind of wonder, like, is he going to wrestle with a mask on? Sure enough, he did wrestle with a mask. Is it more difficult to wrestle with the mask in terms of the breathing side of it? Because I thought I saw online, some doctor actually ran a marathon, and just to prove the point that it doesn't actually affect your athletic ability at all. Of course, I couldn't back that up with anything because I couldn't remember where I'd read that. So I guess that's our main question, because we'll try and stay away from that horrible Charles Mason. What effect does that have on the wrestling ability, wearing a mask, or does it have any effect?
It was a little harder to breathe. If you look closely, you might be able to see the mask kind of going in and out when I inhale and exhale. There is a slightly added barrier. I'm not sure if the difficulty breathing was the mask or me being out of ring shape a little bit. But in a triple threat match, I definitely had a couple moments to be on the side of the ring as I recovered from a move and catch my breath for a minute.
Well, one of the things that you said as well, it depends on the thickness of the mask, because we got our WWE masks because we had to get those, of course. But then we also have the more traditional mask, which is a lot thinner. So I said, hey, we get a chance to ask you this a few days later. So we were kind of curious on that one. Now, Jackson's not with us, but I know he had a few questions he wanted to ask you. This next one, I got to admit, this would have been, he kind of stole this one from probably all of us, because I think we all wanted to know this. Go ahead, Mason. What questions did your brother have?
What's the picture on Facebook where you are lying in sprinkles?
That was my bed. No, I'm just kidding. That would be pretty epic. But that was actually taken at the Museum of Ice Cream in Manhattan. There's a whole museum dedicated to the sweet treat of ice cream, and it is a glorious place.
I don't know if you can hear that. We've got a thunderstorm going on right now, and our whole house just suddenly shook. I'm told Skype has got some sort of filter that takes that stuff out. I hope so, because that was we kind of both jumped up at the same time. That was kind of scary.
Wow.
All right, well, I'm going to add that to my list then, because I know I'm a math teacher. I know there's a Museum of Mathematics in Manhattan as well. So when we can finally travel a little bit, that's something we definitely want to add into. Yeah, he was dying to know. I was like, I have no idea. I can't possibly imagine how you got that picture.
Have you ever had any injuries that made you take time off wrestling?
I did. I tore my meniscus in my knee there. So it was a combination of a couple things. I had been wrestling a lot, and you know, when there's a lot of impact, you're doing a lot of jumping, that definitely affects the meniscus. And that, on top of running a half marathon, I'm not a runner. I don't claim to be, but my friends back in 2015, I believe, they were like, let's run this half marathon. It was the Philly half. And I was like, oh, you know, that sounds like fun. I don't know what I was thinking at the time, but I signed up for the, I'm sorry if you could hear the ambient sounds of New York City, but I signed up for the Philly half marathon. And between that and wrestling, It did not end well for my meniscus, but, you know, after a couple months / years of physical therapy, I am back in the ring and crushing it.
If you could wrestle or tag with anyone, who would that wrestler be?
Wow, that's a great question. I think maybe, I mean, if there's no stipulations to this question, I'm going to go ahead and say Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's my guy right there.
There you go.
Why not?
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, your next question, Mason, you've added this one into the rotation. We have a few like standard questions we've thrown at the end. You wanted to add this one. I added in a slight word change because we're a PG podcast. So go ahead.
What is the best locker room story you can tell on a PG podcast?
I added in the last one because I thought this could get a little bit dicey, possibly. So.
Oh, wow. Well, all right. It was a show at an undisclosed location, and it was someone's birthday. It was one of the wrestlers' birthdays in the locker room. So the organization was kind enough to get a lovely sheet cake for their birthday. And this was only in the locker room. There was no fanfare in the ring or in front of the crowd at all. But true to wrestling history, whenever there's cake involved, you know, there's got to be someone getting pied in the face or cake in the face. And that's exactly what happened. Not only did the wrestler whose birthday it was get their face in the cake, but there was a mini food fight that broke out. And needless to say, I definitely had some cake all over me and all over my bag. And I was throwing cake too. So it got a little crazy, but, you know, fun things going on, trying to keep it a PG for this podcast.
We've seen enough Thanksgiving episodes of WWE now to know exactly where it was going once you started.
As all the wrestlers seem to have them, what are the strange food combinations you eat?
So I'm actually kind of a picky eater when it comes to food, when it comes to you know, foods that people would normally eat. I just never really tried them, never branched out. So my parents would say I have the diet of an 8-year-old boy. But I don't know. I partially blame them. But strange food combinations. I don't know. I don't know if there's really anything that strange that I've had. Maybe some. I'm trying to think if there's any maybe like weird pizza toppings that I've had or something like that. But nothing really that different comes to mind.
This was a question that got thrown in like once, and then suddenly it just like, well, this is staying in. Every time we've asked it, we've always had it. Well, let me ask it this way then. The combination that we think is strange that a lot of wrestlers seem to do is peanut butter with things. Like peanut butter with eggs was one that first came to our attention, which kind of made us ask this question. I'm guessing from their reaction then, no, that's not one that appeals to you either.
That's definitely not for me. I've had a peanut butter and then eggs.
Sure.
But I've never put peanut butter on eggs. That's pretty strange.
All right. Perhaps it's just we haven't thought about this. It might just be where we live. We just have some very strange wrestlers. We're going to have to branch out a little bit and ask people from other states if they have any strange food combinations like that.
Yeah. Well, my brother now eats peanut butter on burgers because of another interview we had, Bo Crocky. He that was his weird food.
He mentioned he tried it at a Canadian restaurant, and our youngest wanted to try it, and now every time we have burgers, he asks to bring the peanut butter out. It's a disaster.
I've actually seen that before in restaurants, a peanut butter burger, so maybe not as strange as you think.
Perhaps not. I got a cat attacking me right now. Hey, can you stop clawing at my legs, please? See? Go on, Mason. Carry on.
Do you have any tattoos? Which one is most meaningful to you?
I don't. Never was into getting tattoos. I love looking at them, and you know, there's a lot of friends that I have that have them. I'll say, you know, if there's one person who I've seen who is covered in tattoos, his name is Schlack. I don't know if you've seen him on GCW. Yeah, big fan of his, and he's just a crazy looking guy. We getting that cat in check over there?
Well, I've tried to give her ball as a distraction so she doesn't she can claw at her ball rather than my leg, and I put the ball a distance away from my leg. It seems to be working so far.
All right, good.
What was your favorite teacher, or what was your favorite subject in school?
Oh, I like these questions. My favorite teacher... Well, let me start with my favorite subject, I suppose. I really enjoyed... music, of course. Those were always some of my favorite classes, and Spanish as well. I wish I could, retain some of the Spanish that I had learned, but I am definitely more of the artistic side. Your English kind of language, definitely more in that vein. One of my favorite teachers. I'd say this is, I guess, maybe my second grade teacher. His name is Mr. Schweid. And I actually purchased for him as a gift around the holidays. I got him a tie with The Rock on it. And, over the years, we've stayed connected. And he says he wears his tie, his Rock tie, like at least once a year, and the students always come up to him and they're like, wow, I can't even believe that's The Rock. And we've stayed so connected that he actually came to one of my shows, one of the Full Faith Wrestling shows, and supported me, and he had his Rock tie on. So yeah, we've definitely been close for 20 years now, which is really cool.
Did you wrestle in high school, and did you do any sports in school or college?
I did wrestle in high school purely because I wanted to be prepared for pro wrestling. I knew, number one, it would get me in peak physical condition. And number two, a lot of the maneuvers are similar. And, just kind of learning your body and learning to do a lot of physical things. So wrestling was super helpful for that. I was pretty good. I won my fair share of tournaments. But I did not really play any sports in college aside from Ultimate Frisbee. Yeah. So that was fun. I did that for a little bit. But other than that, I kind of just stuck to weightlifting and pro wrestling.
What advice would you give to a young wrestler?
I'd say foremost, you want to find a great school, a reputable school. And this is, I guess, to someone who is not in wrestling yet, but someone looking to get into wrestling. And then, make sure you look the part. What wrestling these days welcomes all body types. I think I saw someone tweet recently. They were like, if everyone was ripped and had a six pack, it wouldn't be quite as interesting. So there's definitely all body types welcome in the world of pro wrestling, but you've got to be in shape and be able to kind of wrestle in a match that's 10, 12, 15, 20, 30 minutes. And you can still be a big guy or a big girl and be in ring shape and have the ability to go for that long. But I'd say to definitely improve your cardio.
Now, I think it was on the No Holds Barred Network interview that I heard this as well. I believe you were given some advice as well. Didn't you write to somebody and ask for them some advice?
Yes. When I was in college and I had my first match not too long before, I wrote to Adam Cole on Facebook. We were Facebook friends because when you're 16, you just friend every wrestler on Facebook. And at the time, he wasn't the household name that he is now. He was kind of just making his way up the ranks in Ring of Honor, I believe. And I wrote to him. I said, "Hey, would you mind, you know, watching this match? I've been a fan of yours and have followed you for a few years. Would you mind watching my first match and, you know, giving a critique? And I didn't really think anything of it. I didn't expect him to respond or anything, because here I am thinking he's this big time wrestler who, you know, has thousands and thousands of fans, and he's probably getting a ton of emails and messages every day. Nevertheless, he replied within a couple days. He said, I watched the whole thing, and he gave me a very thorough breakdown of critiques and recommendations, and it was just one of the most selfless things that I've encountered in this entire, like, in my entire career as a wrestler. So I've always had a ton of respect for him. Super thankful for that feedback when I was just starting out.
Where can we find you on social media, and is there any upcoming events that you would like to promote?
Yeah, definitely. So you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joey_Silver. I'm also on Facebook. I believe it's facebook.com/JoeySilverWrestling. I'm also on TikTok. I don't know if people are on there or what they're looking at, but, you know, putting some content up on TikTok every now and then. It's at Joey Silver Wrestling as well. As far as other events go, everything is still kind of on hold. I'm excited to get things going again. And, you know, once things go back to normal, get back out there, pounding the pavement, making towns, traveling all over. I want to go international. I want to try to get into Canada, Mexico. I want to go overseas to the UK.
Hey.
Yeah. even, you know, as far as Australia, Vietnam, I'm seeing a ton of promotions pop up all over the world. And I just want to do as much as I can and wrestle in front of as many people as I can while I still can.
I know that's one of the questions that constantly comes up on social media. Like, what's the thing that you miss the most? Now, certainly independent wrestling is certainly one of those, but just traveling. The ability to go to a certain place, stay in a hotel, go and check. That's the thing I'm missing more than anything right now, yeah. For sure.
Thank you, Joey, for being a guest. Hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you so much, Mason and Graham. I really appreciate your time and having me on the pod.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye!
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/